You know, is there a lacking in the victory of Christ? You know, I went into business and it didn't work out. We are victorious in that as well. Well, Paul really has something else in mind. Because it is the knowledge that we pass on, the gospel, the things we know which pertain to salvation that are the most critical elements in which we will triumph. And so how could that be true, Paul? You know, the things you teach are so contrary and different to what most churches teach. Or it's just so, maybe not contrary in many ways, but just so much more focused and directed in a certain direction. You know, that they are just seemed all over the place on other things. And no one wants to listen to the Word of God. No one wants to listen to you. Well, every time someone does listen to me, I triumph in Christ. I do. I always triumph in Christ when I speak to people or write to them. I always have victory. Oh, well, how can you say that, Paul? I've read letters you've written and I've read, listen to your, you know, I've read the letters. And then you can't tell who's listening, but in the letters I see, well, people, they don't agree with you. Well, that's to presume that to win means they have to come to my agreement. They have to agree with me. Because whether they agree with me or not, I've triumphed. Verse 15 and 16 explain this basic idea. That we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perished. I mean, I make manifest, you know, God causes us to triumph and make manifest the savor of his knowledge. You know what the savor is? It's the fragrance. What does that smell like? You know, it's one of those things. Smell is in such an interesting sense because it's sort of like, it's not like the eyes where you can, it's not as specific as the eyes where you can quantify, well, it was kind of square or it was a circular object, shiny. We have lots of words for vision, but for smell, sweet, sour, right? Pungent. There's certain words for odor, but it's not as clear what we mean. But, you know, it's like you could say a person didn't smell right. You don't mean that they had an actual physical odor. Well, at least in this example, I don't mean that. I mean the sense that there was something imperceptible. It was probably a combination, a culmination of many factors, which made the person, though, if you look at him in each individual, the way he looked seems fair, the way he spoke it seemed all right, and et cetera, et cetera. But without being able to put your finger on it directly by the other senses, by the what things he said, or by the way he looked, there was a smell. Didn't smell right. And I'm not saying people don't look at me and smell something bad. Oh, I'm sure they do. What I'm saying is, God's knowledge has a particular savor. It smells like something. When I speak the word of God, there's a smell going out. And it's a different smell depending on the person. To the one, we are the savor of death. We smell like death. Like a rotting, imagine like, you know what a rotting corpse smells like? You know what death smells like? It's horrible. I remember when I had to bury my dead dog. And I lifted it. And the gases came out of its body. And right in my face. It's a horrible smell. Terrible. Death is a very unpleasant odor. And the other, the savor of life. What's life smell like? Well, I just thought, yeah, there's a lot of living things don't have the greatest smell. But we're talking in the spirit here. It's only that this doesn't really, my words don't smell like death. I suppose not unless I forgot to brush my teeth. But it's not the words so much as the, you know, the feel, the smell of all the things I'm saying. They smell like death to some, and to others, smells like life. We are unto God something sweet, because both smells please God. Because we speak the word of God to people to save some and to destroy others. You know, the word of God, it does that. To some people, they smell it and it means death. Because they hear it and they do not love it. They do not like that smell. They do not like what the word of God sounds like. They don't like the gist of it. You know, they hear it and they don't like it. They don't like what I have to say. I'm victorious because that's what I'm supposed to do. People who are not supposed to receive God's message are going to find it repulsive. Other people, it's going to smell like life. And they're going to love it. Oh, I love that smell. Now I think of life, I think of like, you know, I like to imagine, you know, flowers blooming and on a spring morning, the fresh air and the faint odor of flowers in the air, not strong, you know, but just that subtle, beautiful smell sometimes that you smell in the springtime. Well, verse 17 says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, you know, that clearness, that sort of transparency, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. I don't think I read these separately. God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Well, we covered it good enough. To the one, the question at the end of verse 16, to the one we are the savior of death unto death, and the other the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. But that's what he's talking. Who is sufficient for these things, both to bring life and to bring death? God. He brings life. He brings death. And that's the thing. If you want to just make everybody happy, you will have to corrupt the word of God. And those people who preach a gospel that pleases all men, or that is pleasing in some form to all men, they are corruptors. Because the word of God should smell like death to some people. Some people should find it incredibly unpleasant.